if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. No one's going to tell you can't make $1 million in a year for your own profit and your own benefit. But on the other hand, if you don't go out there and you don't sell houses, there is no security blanket. When we came here, I don't have any rich family members where we could get money. You just hit the ground running, and that's what I've done from day one.
Welcome to the Real Freedom Show, where we inspire you to pursue your passion to gain time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. Let's get some real freedom together. Hello, everybody. This is Mike Swenson. Welcome to another episode of Real Freedom, where we talk about different ways that people build time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. If you want to get started on your real estate journey, check out our website, freedomthroughrealestate.com. We love to share great stories, articles, examples of people using different things inside of real estate to help kind of build the life of what they want to have happen. And so super excited about today's guest, an amazing story. I think for people, if there's a reason why you can't do something or you can't get into real estate, hopefully Karen here will inspire you of why real estate has been successful for her. Quick backstory. So Karen Gonen, raised in Israel in an entrepreneurial household, came to the United States shortly after the Gulf War with two suitcases and $800, and you and your family were able to come in and succeed. And so now you got into real estate at the age of 39 and have been now a top producer. And so closed nearly $24 million in volume in 2024, number one agent in Sussex County. So super exciting. And this is why I love real estate, right? Anybody, no matter what your background is, what your transferable skills that you come into real estate with, whatever you're doing, there's a way to succeed. And so excited, Karen, for you to be able to share your story with us. So welcome.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me. I think what's really important for your listeners to know is that if you put your mind to it, you can do anything. And like you said, I did grow up in an entrepreneurial home, but I never thought of real estate, never crossed my mind to get into real estate. I really do believe in karma and in things happening the way they're supposed to. And what you have to do is just follow or go through the door, whichever way you want to look at it. So for me, I started in real estate because my then partner said he wanted to flip in Vernon, New Jersey. We were living in Ringwood, New Jersey, and he said none of the agents were calling him back. And so I was in between jobs and I said, you know what, I'll take over the conversation. I'll try to get people. And so for 2 weeks, I was calling, texting, emailing, and no one was answering me. And one night I was very frustrated. And at the dinner table, I'm telling my partner, you know, don't these people need to sell a house to make money? How unprofessional? Why isn't anyone calling, emailing, texting me back? And I'm going on and on and on because I'd always been in business and in sales. So I know what a professional is supposed to sound like, look like, speak like. I know all of that. Nobody was calling me back. And so I said to him, I don't know what the issue is. And he said, well, you're not doing anything specific right now. Why don't you just become an agent? And that night I was signed up for class. The following Monday I started, and a month later I had my license. So once I got my license, I had gone straight into real estate. I've always been very ambitious. And so I went straight into sales. Unfortunately, 2017 was Sussex County in New Jersey is about 6 months to a year behind the rest of the state. And so at that point in time, all the bank-owned properties were what we had to sell. So these were sales $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. So even though statistically speaking, at that point in time, a real estate agent, a new real estate agent would sell one house a year and would make $8,000, I sold 19 houses, but only made $35,000 between the tiny commission check, between the commission split with my broker, between all the expenses. And it wasn't about the money. It's never about the money for me. It's always about helping people and finding them a place where they want to be. And so that was my first year. I absolutely loved it. And I think for me, it was more about the relationship, which is why I prefer to be a buyer's agent. Even though I enjoy listings as well, for me, the connection with my buyers is always deeper than my connection with my sellers. And it's a lot harder. It's a lot longer of a relationship because you're seeing tons of houses together. You're going from place to place. You're experiencing all the failed offers, all the inspection issues, all the negotiations. So it kind of puts you in together with people on a much tighter basis. With my sellers, I have a great relationship, but it's just a little different. So when I first joined, I really wanted a mentor. So I went to my then broker and I said, "Can I get a mentor?" Because it was something that was offered from the brokerage. And he said, "Karen, you know what? You've been in business your entire life. Don't even bother. It's not worth it." I really think that had I gotten a mentor, I would have gotten to where I am today much faster, even though my sales are great. I have a big market share in my area. I am a top producer. I think I would have gotten more out of mentorship, which is why for my first year, I've always mentored agents. When my then broker came to me and said, "Would you be willing to mentor?" And I said to him, "This is my first year. I don't even know anything yet." He said, "You know plenty. You know more than these people that have been in the office for 30 years. I would like for you to mentor." And I've always been someone that wanted to help other people. And so I said, "Sure." And it's funny because most of the agents that I mentored became top producers also. In their first year, I said to them, "You know, we made circles of excellence the first year. If I did it, you have to do it." And so my mentees often followed that recipe for success, which is really exciting. And now that I'm a broker, I have a lot more agents under me that I help train. And I think anything is possible. Just put your mind to it. What agents need to realize is that, well, you need to focus more about your clients' needs and what's good for them, not about what's good for your pocket. So if someone is buying a $100,000 house with me or a $1 million house with me, they're going to get the same exact experience, the same customer service, the same communication. That part doesn't matter to me at all. But I came into the industry with zero experience in real estate. I did have sales and management under my belt, but I'd never been in real estate before. So that was a brand new industry for me.
Well, what's interesting to me is like when I first got into real estate, I came in on the admin side. And on our team, I feel like we did a good job of getting people into production quickly. And what I love is people coming from outside of real estate is they don't know what the norm is or what they should or shouldn't be doing. And so if you show them, here's a path where you could try, close 2 to 3 houses a month, shoot for that. Like they don't know the average agent, sells 4 or 5 houses a year. And so if you just say, hey, if you do these things and if you plug into this, hopefully you can get into higher production more quickly. And so especially people with past backgrounds in sales, somebody who sells cars, I don't know what a great number is for somebody who sells cars, but it's like if you know, like this is what I need to do, you just do it over here. And what we do find is there's a lot of agents that are super lazy and unambitious because they do think, oh, I can just sell one house every other month or two and call it good and be happy. But you can do a lot more and there's no limit to how many houses you could sell. You can sell 1,000 if you want to. You've got to build out your systems, but there's no cap, which is the awesome part. So with your background then in sales and marketing, I'd love to hear, because I think everybody can succeed in real estate utilizing kind of what they've learned in the past. What do you feel like were some of those qualities that really helped you to transition well into real estate?
I think for the most part, it was really my customer service because a lot of agents out there are doing things differently than I do. And I actually pride myself on my customer service. My clients know that I'm up at 5:30 in the morning and that I turn into a pumpkin around 10:30. So if you text me or you call me between those times and I'm not with another client, I'm picking you up. We're having a conversation. It could be every hour if we need to talk. That's never a problem. I think other agents are more of the mindset, well, I'm working 9 to 5. So if someone texts me at 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm not answering. Or if someone texts me after 5, I'm not answering. Whereas my clients know they have all this spread of time in order to have a conversation because sometimes you want to know what's going on with your house at 10 o'clock at night. And all the lenders that I work with and the title people, they often get text messages from me after hours because this is how I work. And I tell my buyers and my sellers, if I give you someone and you call them, and let's say it's after 5, and they don't pick you up or they don't call you back, please let me know because we need to have a conversation. If I'm working, they're working. And so if they want to get the referrals from me, They know this is what I expect from them. And I think people just need to understand that you need to care about the other person. And for me, the recipe for success is really simple. Treat other people how you would want to be treated if you were in their place. It's that simple. So if I'm curious at 8 o'clock in the morning, what's going on with my offer, and I want to text my agent, I'm answering that text because I can, not because my day of work starts at 9 until 5. But if it were me buying a house or selling my house and I just thought of something, I want to talk to you now because in 5 minutes I'm going to forget. And then I'll get angry that I didn't talk to you and you're my agent. And so this is why most of my clients actually turn into lifelong relationships. I was just at a client's baby shower literally 2 days ago. The day before that, I went out to dinner with another set of clients. Like, this is how life is. You stay in touch with your clients because they've become friends, because you've gone through this process and you've been there for the highs and the lows and the after purchasing and after selling. And that's how you end up getting more business, because it's not just that one transaction. It's their cousin, their mother, their friend, their neighbor. This is how it works. So agents really need to do a better job staying in touch with past clients, because you never know where the next referral is going to come from.
I remember before I got into real estate, between our sales and purchases and friends that I had referred to our agent, because I had a fantastic agent, we loved working with her. I think I had counted 15 pieces of business in the course
Look at
of, I think
that.
it was 4 years that she got. And then the odd thing enough is then when I told her that I was getting into real estate, I don't think I've heard from her since then. Outside of
Oh,
the times that I've just reached out, like, hey, just want to check in and see how you're doing type thing. And so, but I
no.
get it, right?
Interesting.
She, I mean, yeah, it shows a little bit that it was about the transaction, not about the relationship. But I think, kind of thinking about your story, get into real estate. There's so many people out there who had an experience where they're like, they just kind of realize, I think I can do this better than the agents that I know,
Yeah.
whether like in your case, you just started, like, okay, I think I can do this. Let's just jump right in. Or people have like, hey, I bought a house and the agent that I had was terrible. I realized I could do it better. So now I want to get into real estate. And so there's kind of like you said, this customer service piece of if you've been well trained in a past experience of doing great customer service, there's a lot of agents that don't do it well. And so you can come in and have success just by those simple practices of treating people well, responding to them when they reach out to you, and other things like that.
Exactly. Well, the funny thing is that 4 of my clients became agents and they're in my brokerage. So
Awesome.
one of my agents in my office is actually one of my first Zillow calls 9 years ago. And he bought, sold. I don't even remember how many transactions we've had. And then finally, when he got his license, he went to a friend's brokerage, which I don't knock anybody, but I always stay in touch. He went to a friend's brokerage. It didn't work out. It wasn't the right fit for him. And he let his license go. And then when he came back into the industry, he called me up. He was still living in his last house that he bought with me in Sparta in Sussex County. And he said, Karen, I want to get my license back, but the only brokerage I can see myself going into is yours. Can I join your office? And I said, abso-freaking-lutely, come on in. One of my other agents is the son of two of my buyers. And so when he came of age and he wanted to get into real estate, he said, even though I'm getting calls all the time because I was in school, he said, the only one I would consider learning how to do real estate from is you, because he and his parents had looked for 4 years and had switched agents all the time because they never found their person until we met. And over the span of about 1.5 years, I think we saw over 100 houses, but they ended up getting the perfect home. And so he said, you're the only one that I want to learn from because I want to be just like you. And I said, you know what? I'll teach you everything I know because why not? So it's twofold. One hand, yes, you become competition because we're all independent contractors, but competition makes us better. And teaching someone how to be a good real estate agent, they ask you questions you're not thinking of, looking for that answer that makes you better at your craft. And if it does, then why not do it? Why not help other agents do better?
Absolutely. Real quick before we dive more into the real estate side, I do just want to touch on your background, right? You've got a very unique story. So I'd love to just take a minute for you to kind of share that background of coming to the US and kind of what that was like. And probably it'd be great to hear kind of how that helped shape you, your work ethic, values, things like that as you got to the US. And then, yeah, we can kind of jump back onto the real estate side, but I wanted to touch on that quick too.
Sure, not a problem. So we had the Gulf War in Israel, and it was pretty much all of eighth grade. And my father was a paramedic. And so he would literally go 5 days into the army and he would serve as a paramedic. Then on Friday, they'd release it to go home. And by Saturday night, he would have another order to go back. And so he said to my mother, either we leave the country or I'm going to die of a heart attack. So we left the country at the end of the Gulf War in April 28th of 1991. We came to Connecticut with two suitcases, four people, and $800. And that's all we had on this earth. There was nothing else because we left kind of in a hurry. We just needed to get out. There was no way my parents were going to stay. And so we stayed with friends and then we moved to Fairfield, Connecticut, moved every year there. I went straight into freshman year. And then in the summer of my junior year, my parents moved us into New Jersey. And at that point, and I think one of the things I didn't share is I've moved 29 times in my life. And so that's between continents, between countries, between states, plenty of moves in between. But what I saw from my parents, and I think this is what my kids see in our household, was that they worked day in and day out. There was all work every day. But when we went on vacation, the rest of the world died. Nothing mattered. It was just us and our parents, and that's all that mattered. There was no phone calls in the middle, meetings, appointments. There was none of that, which is what I do with my kids. When we go away on vacation, that's it. And what I try to explain to them is, there are two types of jobs you could do. You could work for someone else and build their dream and have a secure paycheck every week or every other week. But when you want to go on vacation, you have to ask for permission. There's a limited amount of time you can go, and you're not getting paid, usually the same amount of money. Whereas on the other hand, you have an unsecured type of job. You work as much as you want, but there's no glass ceiling. No one's going to tell you how much money you can make because of your expertise or because of your position or however. And this is how I actually told my son, who was thinking of going into real estate. I said to him, if you work hard, you're going to make money. I will give you all the tools, just like I give to every other agent in the brokerage. But if you don't work, you don't eat. It's that simple. No one's going to tell you can't make $1 million in a year for your own profit and your own benefit. But on the other hand, if you don't go out there and you don't sell houses, there is no security blanket. When we came here, I don't have any rich family members where we could get money. You just hit the ground running, and that's what I've done from day one. Because if you work, and if you seed and if you care about other people, you're going to be successful. There's no secret sauce. There's no hidden agendas. There's no special anything to real estate. You just have to work and you just have to care about your clients more than you care about yourself, which is actually in our ethics. That's in the oath that we take when we become agents. Unfortunately, some people forget that during their career.
Are you looking to get started or scale in real estate investing but don't know your next step? Are you overwhelmed thinking about finding deals, analyzing deals, doing due diligence, and managing properties on top of it? Go ahead and push the easy button and invest with us. Real estate investing is what we do full time. We've done dozens of deals with hundreds of doors. We have the knowledge and experience to handpick the best deals that most investors can't find. We've got large off-market deals all the time where you can hopefully find returns and economies of scale that you just can't find on your own. The best thing is it's 100% passive to you for less capital than you put down trying to acquire a property on your own. Don't let this year go by where you don't make the leap, add to your portfolio, or you just sit in analysis by paralysis. To find out more, visit freedomthroughrealestate.com and click on invest. You can book a call and learn more there. So get to scaling your portfolio now with us by your side. You'd mentioned about growing up in an entrepreneurial household. Talk to me a little bit more about that, because you had mentioned about working for a job versus kind of working on your own. I'd love to hear how that kind of shaped your thinking as you continued to get older.
Sure. So my parents, when we lived in Israel, they had their own shipping company, export and import. So they were always working 7 days a week. Well, no, 6 days a week they were working. And so all I saw my parents do is go to work, come back home in the afternoon. My sister and I, thankfully, were always taken care of. We never had any concerns about whether or not our parents loved us or wanted to spend time with us. But I think for the most part, we always knew that, yes, we had money, but we weren't wasteful. When we went on vacation, we did whatever we wanted. There wasn't any, oh, you know, that's really expensive, let's not do that. We always did whatever we wanted. And I do the same with my kids. They see me and my husband working, and that's all we do. And we work, work, work until we go on vacation. And then we do the extravagant style. We do whatever we want, whenever we want. But we work really hard to get to that place, and that's what they see. And so you always have options. Unfortunately, some real estate agents are part-time agents, or their significant other has a job where they don't care as much whether or not they sell. And I feel bad for those buyers and sellers, because if you don't have your agent full-time, you're flying blind, which is what happens when you take like a limited service listing. I have very often, because I'll show my clients anything they want, whether it's a for sale by owner or a limited listing. I'll show you anything, because for me, it's not about the money. I might make less money because it's a limited service. I might work harder because the other agent, all they did is put it on the MLS. And that's the only thing they get paid for. But I'm going to do my job and their job because I want to work for my clients and I want to get them a house, or I want to sell their house. And so I teach my agents all the time, if you want to sell a house, get ready to do your job and theirs. Because if you want to close, you're going to do whatever it takes. So yes, it is the listing's responsibility to do A, B, C, D as a buyer's agent. You don't have to do this. But if you don't do it and the other side doesn't do it, how is it going to close? It's not. So that part is what I try to hammer home with my agents, because a lot of them just say, well, he's supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to do that. But I try to tell them it doesn't matter. Supposed to, pointing fingers at each other. Nothing is going to get done. And then nobody will get paid.
It's awesome to see, to your point, that anybody can be successful in real estate. And yeah, all of that upbringing that you had really shaped you into the type of agent that you are, you know, somebody who really has that care mentality and great service. And then obviously you plug in your sales background and management experience. And so I just love how, you know, people can get into real estate and be successful. Now, you mentioned about doing bank owned properties and things like that early on. Talk about kind of maybe transitioning to a little bit more traditional real estate for people wondering kind of, how did you go find that business? How did you build that database up, or that customer list up as you continue to grow?
Sure. So most of the bank-owned leads came from my broker. Unfortunately, I was on a 50-50, which is why I made so little money. But that's fine, because it just meant that I had to run around a lot more to make the amount of money that I wanted. So I've never had an issue with working hard. I always had an issue with hardly working, because I'm a control freak and I'm very energetic and I like to have my hands in many things. But what I did when I first joined real estate, I had actually moved right after getting my license. So I moved into the town I live in now, which is Vernon, New Jersey, but I knew no one, literally no one. I knew my landlady. That's all I knew. Didn't know anybody else. But what I did do is I went into the municipal building and I said, how can I help? Can I help with the senior citizens, whatever they're doing, serving them lunch, having birthday parties, holiday parties? I'll just come and help. I don't want anything. I literally don't want anything. I just want to help because I wanted to get my face out there. I started a brand new networking group that didn't exist in my area. I went to all the charity events. I volunteered to help in the charity events. So I did a lot of things which came back to me, because I don't advertise in my town. I believe I do enough for my town where people know my name and they know my face. And I think that's something some agents are missing. When you don't have a mentor and you don't know what you're supposed to do, seed. I shot in tons of different directions. So I did all the usual stuff everybody does. I did the placemats at the local diner. I did the receipts in the supermarket. I did the carts in the super. I did everything. Anything you can think of, I've done it. And then after looking back, because what you have to do, it's checks and balances. I invested my time and I invested my money. Where did I get a return, if any? And that's what was important. And once I focused and found where the referrals were coming from, where the leads were actually coming from, that's when I knew where I need to put all of my time and energy into. And so I still get referrals from people locally where they say, well, I saw you at the senior center. You were serving us the holiday dinner. Do you have your card? Even people from the municipal building, they see my face so much at the municipal building that they're like, hey, my whatever needs to sell a house. Do you want to get a listing? Yes, please.
You decided the placemats was the best use of your money, so you invested in all placemats at every restaurant everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think it's funny because, sometimes we'd have agents on our team that have these crazy ideas where sometimes they think, because I got one piece of business from XYZ, whatever it is, now if I just do twice as much or three times as much of effort. We had an agent one time that was really hung up on sending out recipe cards because they had gotten a client one time from them. And we're like, you could print 1,000 recipe cards. That doesn't mean you're going to get 1,000 closings just because you got sent one recipe card to one client, And so you have to have that logical piece of where's my dollar and my time actually working? Am I going to be a good agent by spending all my time putting recipe cards out there? So funny. Yeah. I mean, you had mentioned about just the value of mentoring, and I can hear that through what you didn't have when you first started and what you're now providing to people. I just think there's so much value in, helping people get off on the right foot. Because it can save you 2 to 3 years. They might eventually get there, but it's just going to take 2 to 3 years longer. And so you can really shorten that learning curve by adding great value as a mentor early on. And so certainly you guys must do a great job with that.
So for just as an example, I was on a Zoom meeting with one of my agents, 9 o'clock at night. I had literally just walked in the door at 8:30. I was out all day, open houses. Well, I had my own out open house. Then I went to show houses, and of course, my buyers added more houses. And then I had a walkthrough an hour away for a closing at 9 a.m. today. So I walked in the door and my agent texted me and he said, I can't figure out zip forms. It's not sending to my clients. I'm really sorry. I said, don't even worry about it. Let's get on Google Meet and let's just do it. And we sat for an hour and we went through the whole thing. And he had tried to do it on his own, which I'll say in his defense, he definitely did everything he was supposed to do. He just didn't know how to finalize it. Even though we've done it together, sometimes you need more than one time, and that's perfectly fine. I tell my agents all the time, I prefer you ask me, then you make a mistake. Because real estate is a serious business. It's all legal paperwork. I don't want you to have any issues. I want to make sure that you do things properly the right way. And as we're going through it, if he hadn't done anything the way I wanted it, I corrected him and he starts laughing and he says, I knew you were going to say that. And I tell him I'm very OCD about the paperwork because everything needs to be lined up and everything needs to be checked off and every line has to have something in it. I don't tolerate it. I said, you're in my brokerage. That means that my name is all over your paperwork. You represent me. And if you screw up, that means I screw up and we're not doing that. So he started laughing and he said, I know, as I was doing it the other way, I knew you were going to correct me. I said, good, then listen to the voice in your head. That's me all the time. And it was great. But we ended up talking until about 9:30, almost 10 o'clock at night. And this is what you do as a mentor. It's your job to help them be better with you than without you.
So now you've been in real estate coming up on 10 years here, or almost to 10 years. What are some ideas or thoughts you have for the next few years?
I just want to sell more houses and I want to teach more agents because what I do for my agents is I actually give them free leads. I know how hard it is to get started. I'm very grateful to have what I have. And I do believe in karma. So what I give to others will always come back to me. And so I give them free leads because I know when you're a brand new agent, you're broke and you can't advertise because you're broke. You haven't made any money. But if I give you a lead and you learn how to work with that lead with me by your side and you start making money, now you're excited. Now you want to go and do it again. Now you understand. And I tell them they always have to have boundaries. If you can only work with, let's say, two buyers at a time, that's all you work with. If you can only do two listings at a time, that's what you work with. You don't push because then that reduces the level of customer service. And once you have a bad rap, that's it. It's game over. It doesn't matter what you do, you have that name. And it's not only for clients, it's also for other agents. We all know who the bad agents are out there, especially in such a small area such as Sussex County.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Karen, so much for coming on and sharing your story and sharing why you do what you do and how you do it and just the care that you have for people. For people that want to reach out to you, how can they do so?
So the best way to reach out to me is actually my cell phone. My number is 551-262-4062. Or they can look me up on Instagram or Facebook. My handle on Instagram is Karen Gonan Real Estate Broker, and it's the same on Facebook. And no matter what, they can always get me.
I love it. That's the thing. Whenever I would have to try to find, when we were recruiting agents back in the day, it's like, well, an agent needs to be found so you can find their information. And so, everybody's phone number or email, you should be able to find them pretty quickly through a Google search. So that's
Absolutely.
for better or worse. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Karen, for coming on and sharing your story. Best of luck as you continue to grow both your business and the business of all the agents you care about in the future.
Thank you so much, Mike, and thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
These people can still afford homes. Their income verifies it. They've had really strong income over the course of the last 12 to 24 months. As long as we can qualify them through the ability to repay, we understand where they're at in terms of their income, and we have a strong feeling that they will be able to repay us because we're going to give them a house. We'll go in, buy the house on their behalf, sell it back to them the same day, and then initiate a mortgage once they've given us a home buyer down payment. It's a very unique model that I've never really seen before.
Welcome to the Real Freedom Show, where we inspire you to pursue your passion to gain time and financial freedom through opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. Let's get some real freedom together. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Real Freedom, Real Estate Leverage Freedom, where we highlight people building time and financial freedom through different opportunities in real estate. I'm your host, Mike Swenson. If you want to get started on your real estate investing journey or learn more about how you can get involved in real estate, check out our website, freedomthroughrealestate.com. We always have great content, our interviews, blog posts, you name it, to help you with the goal really to inspire you to get into real estate if you're not in real estate. Or if you are, maybe help guide your path to figure out where you're going to land to ultimately be in this awesome entrepreneurial playground that is the real estate industry. So today, excited to share with you, we've got Jack Corrigan. Jack is an investor relations and fund associate at the Lucky Group, comes from a background outside of real estate, has been and worked in real estate, has a lot of experience. And so just like all of our episodes, we love telling great stories. The goal is for you to, find something that you connect with, whether it's the background, whether it's why real estate, whether it's a story, whether it's the asset class that we highlight, whatever it might be. And so excited to have Jack on the show and share your story. So welcome.
Thanks, Mike. So happy to be here.
Just go ahead, give us a little bit of background about you and we'll go from there.
I feel like I have a pretty diversified background coming out of college. Graduated from the University of Texas, Hickam Horns. That was my dream school. Absolutely loved my time in college and kind of fell into real estate after going to as many events as I possibly could. But definitely found that passion when I was still in school. Got my agent's license and hunted with a brokerage shop as an intern. Just wanted to get more experience and learn. My full-time background, like you mentioned, is not in real estate. It's actually in bartending, where my mom and dad were bartenders in Manhattan, New York. They owned a bar. Fast forward about 20 years later, my dad is working for the UN and my mom was a lawyer, and the story keeps writing itself. But since coming out of school, I've closed give or take about 120 million in transactions, underwritten a lot more than that. And I'm currently capital raising for our firm, the Lucky Group. We're a little bit more on the startup side right now, where we see massive growth potential over the course of the coming years, once we actually get more capital intensive units. Still some things that we're figuring out on the front end and the back end. That's part of the beauty of being a startup, but really, really excited for all the people that have partnered with us, and obviously excited for future partnerships as well. Happy to dig into all of that. And again, Mike, just really happy to be here with you today.
Now, with your background being, kind of entrepreneurial, you were exposed to that at an early age. That contrasts for me. I was kind of instructed, work at a W-2, save for your 401k. Everything's going to be safe, stable. You can count on it. And the way that that worked out for me was, both of my parents were actually let go from their jobs shortly before retirement age. And so I got a chance to see that not work out all the way to completion. Now, for me, they were close enough where they were able to make it work. So it wasn't kind of a tragic ending there, but it could have been. And so it took me a while to kind of take the turn on the entrepreneurial route, actually got a degree in entrepreneurship. But for you, talk about growing up in kind of that entrepreneurial environment, or even just the, maybe less consistent environment. Consistent is probably not the right word, but talk about kind of your upbringing and mindset as it related to W-2 versus entrepreneurship. And then, two, kind of what attracted you to getting into real estate?
Great question. I feel like I'll probably answer both of them a little bit more as well down the line, but I guess let me give you and some of your listeners some background on me. Grew up in Manhattan, New York, born and raised for 20 years. Mom and dad are bartenders in Manhattan. That's how they met, and ended up owning a bar. Did that for about 5 or so years. That whole entrepreneurial experience completely. Mom was a history major from Baylor, moved from, Waco all the way to Manhattan, chasing her cousin, my uncle. Ended up meeting my dad, an Irish immigrant from Dublin, who at the time was, working doorman jobs, working as a bartender, trying to get his foot in the door at certain companies like the United Nations, where he ended up working for the better part of 20 years. Always entrepreneurial minded, always thinking what's next, always thinking where can I go to go find that opportunity, where can I go meet someone. I'd always say that I'm grounded in my entrepreneurship in terms of understanding, what's the opportunity cost, what's the sunk cost, what happens if you do this or that. I think that's also a really big important part of entrepreneurship that sometimes doesn't really get laid down in foundations, where those are important. You need to understand, what is my overall income? What's my cost of living? What can I save on? How can I cut down expenses? All of that. Definitely learned that in the bartending industry after about 6 years doing inventory, leading people, training new bartenders. Can also get in a little bit to my, I guess, officiating background as well, where I will tell you, I officiate high school football here in Texas. So being a part of a team that's really, 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 really connected, being able to talk over the phone, give a signal like, hey, this doesn't look right, all of it relates. I guess digging in a little bit more on why real estate or how I found it. It's funny. I think it's a little bit of a mix of bartending in college and officiating high school football. And obviously, my background's in finance. That's where I got my degree. I love underwriting and understanding certain financial metrics. I think that IRRs are, the beauty of finance. And at the very least, understanding your investment opportunities. Can get into that, of course, if, we'd like to. But again, fell into real estate, thought it was a great intersection between finance, bartending, and that teamwork that I get in officiating, but always looking to meet new people. Like I mentioned, I guess before this interview started, always trying to call new people, always trying to get on cold calls, always DMing random people on LinkedIn, just asking for a quick, 5 minutes, 60 seconds, whatever you got time for. Would love to know how we can work together now or in the future. And I think that that's the beauty of this business. You never know when you're going to meet someone at the right time. Maybe now's the wrong time, but that doesn't mean it will be in the future. It's always about keeping an open mind, being transparent, and being honest with yourself that you're not going to take up someone's time for, all of 60 seconds.
I think back to, when I first got into real estate. So I got into real estate on the admin side. And, hearing my boss, who grew up entrepreneurial the entire time, didn't have a job, didn't really even understand kind of what a W-2 even looked like or how that worked. You know, he'd ask me these questions and I was like, how do you not know the answer to this? But he just, because he grew up on the entrepreneurship side and really opened my mind to the unlimited possibilities that being in real estate can have. Even as we're talking about, you know, I started on the residential real estate side. So if you think about, you know, agents slinging homes and things like that, it's like, you know, there's no limit. You could have two closings a year, 20, 100, 1,000, you can have as many as you want. And so for me, kind of in this W-2 mindset, I kind of had maybe a little bit of a cap on the top of, you know, thinking what's possible. And that's what I love about real estate is, yeah, you may not end where you started in terms of kind of which path in real estate, but there is unlimited potential. There's so many cool things that you can do, so many great connections. And for you, just being able to meet different people, connect, there's a world of possibilities between now and the rest of your life.
Completely agreed. And I think that's also a great segue into what we do at the Lucky Group. And I do want to get into that, but I can completely relate to you. And I guess more along how the lines of you grew up, you know, in W-2 versus 1099 space. I'll go back to just a second here for bartending. And I guess without trying to get too political, the big, beautiful bill that Trump's already passed, no tax on tips. I think that we can all agree that is phenomenal. That should have been, you know, passed long, long time ago when my mom and dad were working. May have gotten them another bar too. But again, bartenders, service industry workers, as we all know, they're some of the lowest paid people on the planet. They get somewhere between $2 to $5 an hour, and then the rest is just tips. Those are all W-2 jobs, even though in reality, it's all performance-based, right? You don't make a sale. You don't necessarily, maybe there's an auto grad or something like that at certain bars and restaurants, but everything that you do, tips. Everything that you make, tips. I've been fortunate enough that, you know, I'm a decent bartender and have been tipped very handsomely at times. And maybe some of that's charm, maybe some of that's work ethic. I think that all of those go hand in hand in entrepreneurship at the end of the day. And to your point about really unleashing yourself and others in the 1099 space, you eat what you kill. If you're a killer, go be one. That is a little bit more of what I guess we'll get into at the Lucky Group, and that we're not killers, we're actually assisters. So think of people like, you know, me in a past life, Mike, whether I was a bartender, an Uber driver, a sports official, you name it, people with 1099 contractor income that they can make money, but they're unqualified, quote unquote, through banks. A lot of that's due to 2008 and the conventional lending system, and total kudos to the banks that did tighten up because, again, there was a lot of stuff happening in 08 that was not very great. However, because of those, let's say, malfunctions of the financial system back then, we're in today's current economy where we have an amazing gig economy. 20 to 30% of the current workforce is gig economy. We expect that to continue to grow by 2035. However, because they're contractors, they cannot be qualified by banks for mortgages. That's kind of where the Lucky Group can go in and assist people. And I'd love to, I guess, dig into that a little bit more if I can right now.
Yeah, for sure. Go ahead.
So again, like I mentioned, these people have strong income. Maybe they have a lower credit score because of outstanding student debt. Maybe they're close to paying it off. Maybe they've been late on a mortgage payment. Maybe they've been late on credit cards. There's a lot of things that go into FICO scores that I can probably segue to potential people that are interested on another call. But these people can still afford homes. Their income verifies it. They've had really strong income over the course of the last 12 to 24 months. As long as we can qualify them through the ability to repay, we understand where they're at in terms of their income, and we have a strong feeling that they will be able to repay us because we're going to give them a house. We'll go in, buy the house on their behalf, sell it back to them the same day, and then initiate a mortgage once they've given us a home buyer down payment. It's a very unique model that I've never really seen before outside of this company. And again, I think it positions us really well for long-term growth in that we don't have any holding costs. We only have so much of a lockup period. Again, we are in expansion mode right now, which means that we got to be really careful with how we're spending our money and the clients that we're taking in. But at the same time, we're really excited about the prospects and continuing to help others. We have about 50 or so people that are currently lined up just here in Texas for our mortgages. And now it's just about continuing to get them into the homes that they want, making sure that themselves and their families are well taken care of from both a home equity standpoint and a mortgage standpoint. Last thing that we want to do is hurt anyone with our loans. Best thing that we can do is unlock HELOCs for them and continue their family, continued stewardship, just be honest, good business people.
That was a bit of a moment of awakening for me, leaving my W-2 and choosing to go full-time into real estate. That happened right around COVID. And I remember we had just recently moved to a house, which thank God that we did, because I didn't even really think about that at the time. Like, okay, we've got the house. I did think about it when it came time to having the home equity line, probably could have refied for a little bit lower, but then all of a sudden now I'm entrepreneur and, you know, having conversations with our lenders and it's like, well, you're not in a W-2 anymore, so we need at least 2 years of tax returns. And I was thinking, shoot, what happens if my, you know, what happens if life changed and I had to move somewhere else or do something else? I was kind of stuck. And so we're fortunate to be in a home that we want to be in for a while, but not everybody has that opportunity, and life happens and stuff happens. And yeah, traditional banks can work well for some people, but yeah, there's a whole group of people that doesn't quite fit what that need is.
And we think that that's a really, really strong untapped market. We've actually internally underwritten that market to be give or take about $170 billion. The mortgage industry itself is worth $2 or $3 trillion. I'm blanking on it off the top of my head, but that untapped percentage, again, Mike, to your point, these people that have qualified income, they're making strong returns on their money. They clearly have a great job going for them. That's how we were able to qualify them. But they should be able to qualify for mortgages. And to your point, again, a lot of people don't really understand that when they do leave their W-2 job. That's something that we're trying to fix with our company. And who knows, maybe later down the line, banks do cater to people like that with contract work. Maybe they're not just looking at tax returns, but we have a strong underwriting system in place where, you know, we have guidelines, we have underwrites that can qualify people. Currently working a few things in there between a fintech platform and emerging market technology. Happy to go into that a little bit more, but there is some stuff that I can't fully disclose at this time. But cannot agree with you more that 1099 is the way to go. I mean, some of the most successful people that I know have been 1099 workers and not gone to college. That is not me saying don't go to college. Please go to college, get your degree if you can. But for those that can't, or they just don't think it's for them, nothing wrong with working your tail off to get to where you need to go. And obviously even asking for support along the way. I always tell people to reach out to mentors, always reach out to new people, expand that network and meet new friends. Who knows, maybe your best friend that you're going to start your later firm or company with is on the other end of a LinkedIn DM on a Wednesday. You have no idea.
Are you looking to get started or scale in real estate investing but don't know your next step? Are you overwhelmed thinking about finding deals, analyzing deals, doing due diligence, and managing properties on top of it? Go ahead and push the easy button and invest with us. Real estate investing is what we do full time. We've done dozens of deals with hundreds of doors. We have the knowledge and experience to handpick the best deals that most investors can't find. We've got large off-market deals all the time where you can hopefully find returns and economies of scale that you just can't find on your own. The best thing is it's 100% passive to you for less capital than you put down trying to acquire a property on your own. Don't let this year go by where you don't make the leap, add to your portfolio, or you just sit in analysis by paralysis. To find out more, visit freedomthroughrealestate.com and click on invest. You can book a call and learn more there. So get to scaling your portfolio now with us by your side. Talk about a little bit of how the Lucky Group got started. I'd love to kind of hear what caused it to form and kind of how did it come to be?
Definitely. So company was formed in 2023 before my time. It was originally more of a consulting program than an actual company, but the Lucky Group LLC was the name of the game. Upon, I want to say, 17 originated transactions over the course of the first year, they got 17 people into homes. They realized the capital request. They got those returns back to investors that were very strong, about 20% IRRs. At this time, that's been changed a little bit so that we can actually make it into a fund structure. We can continue the mission of helping people get into homes while still making strong returns. It's just that at this point, now that it's going to be a fund, those aren't 20 or so percent. It's a 10% pref return with a 12% target IRR, which I will tell people we're happily making at this point. We are still looking for more investors to obviously continue our pipeline, expand into new markets, find new territories, and help people. But it all comes with time. Patience is a virtue. Meeting people and getting on podcasts and making new friends like you and I are doing right now, Mike, is hopefully exactly what you're supposed to be doing in order to keep growing.
So essentially, you're kind of creating a bucket of money, right? So you've got the investors coming in, putting money into something that's going to give them a great return. And then you're funding the other side or helping the other side of the people that need these loans that can't necessarily get those loans or have a hard time qualifying for those loans. So you're kind of helping two people at the same time and creating an investment vehicle that meets in the middle and works for both sides.
Exactly. And we're always telling people we want to be win-win-win for everyone. We never want to hurt anybody in the process of investors, clients, ourselves. The only way that we originate mortgages is once they're qualified. We've known them for X amount of time. We see their income verified and then we'll help them. But to your point, again, Mike, we always aim for the win-win-win. I think that that's the beauty of real estate. That's what you always want to aim for. And if you can continue to do so, you're going to have a great career.
So touch on the lendee side, right? So I'm looking for a home. You've kind of already touched on this, right? I've got a job that doesn't necessarily have the traditional requirements for a loan. So what does that process look like for me talking with you guys?
Definitely. So you have to give us a minimum 10% of a down payment, right? Let's say that the home is worth $330,000. Give us $33,000. We'll lend you the rest. And that'll be your mortgage note fixed over 30 years. We only do 30-year amps. We only fix those schedules. We don't have any adjustable rate mortgages. That's what a lot of 2008 was. We felt like that wouldn't go over too well in 2025 with, you know, 1099 contractors. It's contract work. We want this to be very easy, clean, simple for everyone, such as a lendee like you, Mike. So again, you want a home, $330,000. You give us 33 grand, we will lend you the rest and make that a fixed note. Just essentially take in interest income over the next 30 years. All of those funds go back to investors. The last thing that we want to do is give you the highest rate possible. We do charge a premium once we go through the resale process, but the only reason that we do that is so that we can get those returns for our investors. We disclose that up front to people so that they know, look, the reason that you could get this loan is because these investors are believing in the mission that we are doing, our operating company, and the founders involved. If you want us to help you, you need to help us and sign up for this. And we always try to make that very clear up front. I will say that since, you know, our team has been assembled, we have not had any defaulted mortgages. We've done about 30 or so loans since 2023. And like I mentioned, are looking to expand on that into hopefully the next 50 or so clients just here in Texas. And then again, continue to build that pipeline in more states. But really happy with our current progress in terms of where we're at. We do have an open house actually at the end of the month. So if any of your listeners want to maybe meet us face to face, happy to connect on LinkedIn, shoot me a DM and, you know, would love to meet you guys. Like I mentioned, we're in Austin, Texas. So shout out Austin. Welcome.
Awesome. So that's what kind of happens on the lendee side. So then on the lender side, you know, you mentioned about starting a fund or having a fund. So if somebody's interested in that, what does that look like?
So just for my own clarification, are you asking if somebody wanted to invest in our company?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have two different raises. One is an LP raise, which that requires an NDA, and I don't necessarily can go into that right now. But there's also the LP raise. So if you're looking for passive investment opportunities where hopefully this is where you and I can start smiling a lot, Mike, you invest with us. I want to say that the minimum is about $50,000. Accredited investors only, 506C offering. You invest with us, we'll take that money. It'll go into purchasing homes in which we'll unlock that equity, taking out a first lien. Then we sell it back to our home buyer on that end, giving them the mortgage and then taking those proceeds to return to investors. That process is very repeatable and it makes it really easy to recycle capital without getting too messy or too frictional. At the end of the day, we obviously need one in order to get to the other. We need really smart people that want to believe in us and believe in the mission. And, you know, some of that comes from venture capitalists. Some of it comes from private equity. Some of it comes from commercial real estate people that I've worked with in the past. And even if they're not necessarily wanting to invest, I always try to ask, what are you currently working on? How can we work in the future? If it's not a yes today, would it be something that you might look at in a year? Some of that is, you know, you guys are so young, you're 2 years old. Well, at the same time, when are you actually going to invest? And again, not trying to pressure anyone to invest with us. That's the last thing that we want to do. It's just a calm conversation of, okay, I totally respect that decision. how can we work together?
So you guys are in Austin now. Is most of your lending in the Austin area, just Texas in general? And then what does that look like for your possible expansion into other states?
So most of our current property or most of our current borrowers are here in Texas. We are expanded into three states at this point between Texas, Florida, and Tennessee. We're looking to expand into more markets, I would say give or take 10 by the next quarter, not Q4, but Q1 of next year. We'll see how far we get in those expansion plans. We are a smaller team right now. We're always looking at new ways to implement AI and enhance efficiencies within our workflows, be on top of things from a communication standpoint, and work around everyone's schedule. Again, we're lean and green, ESG friendly, and very, very intensely communicating with both our borrowers and investors. We have our head of relationship management, Justin, that kind of works a little bit more with the investor pool. I'm more on the sourcing side, getting in touch with people, getting on podcasts, getting on webinars, SDRAs, you name it. Again, always just looking to continue the mission and meet new people.
Well, thank you so much, Jack, for coming in and sharing just a great story. And yeah, you're helping multiple people. For people that want to reach out, both as a borrower and as a lender, how can they do that?
You guys can reach me at my email, jack@theluckygroupinc.com, or look me up on LinkedIn. I'm slowly becoming LinkedIn popular. I think I have like 8,000 followers or something like that. Full disclosure, I DM as many people as I can, so it doesn't super surprise me, but you know, when you look at the numbers, it's like, wow, that's not bad.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing, Jack. Love what you guys are doing. Obviously meeting a great need, providing a great investment vehicle for investors as well. And excited to see where you guys take things in the future.
Thanks so much, Mike. So appreciate your time. Looking forward to staying in touch, and feel free to give me a call anytime. Would love to do this again.